Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to look at a new series topic I believe will bless and encourage us here in this new season of springtime in our natural seasons. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Amen. Let's talk today about why your season never fails. Say, "My season never fails." And we're going to take this part one, planted beside living water. Say, "Thank you, Lord. I am planted beside living water." Now, let me share some thoughts with you. Because in the time of vacation and of course, in Hawaii, I thought about some things and looked at some things in nature. I got some parables, and God began to speak to me about seasons and how we sometimes misinterpret seasons. And because we misinterpret seasons, they appear to fail. But in fact, your seasons do not fail. We only tend to miss what God is doing. And I'm going to show you how not to miss what God is doing. Amen. The essence of what David is saying here is that God's season brings success. The text here said that you should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also is not withered, and whatever he does shall prosper. And what he's saying in essence is that your success is tied to your season. Say, "My success is tied to my season." Now, the psalm goes on to say in verse 4, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Well, thank God, verses 4 and following don't pertain to us. We're in the verses 1 through 3. And the consequence of not following God is right there for all to read. My focus today is why seasons do not fail and why your success is tied to your season. Now, what is success? What is success? Success isn't having just lots of things, lots of money. I believe success is this. Success is discovering and living in God's will in your life. You believe that? And that can happen with or without lots of things. Because you can have things and not discover or know God's will for your life. So discovering and living in God's will requires balance in life. And living out of balance is the problem many people have. I sat in a conference years ago and listened to a preacher named Charles Simpson. Took some notes. He talked about living in God's will, talked about the problems that people face, the reasons why there's a lack of balance. And he gave these terms. He said that there are goals without grace. Think about that, goals without grace. That is, I want to do something. I don't sense the grace or have grace to do those things. That's a lack of balance. He said, there's stress without relief. That's not good, right? Stressed, concerned, worried, no relief. There is zeal without balance, work without play, producing without partaking, relationship without reciprocity, that is, you're not receiving, you're giving and not receiving, battles without hope, forces without faces, interesting one, isn't it, forces without faces, need without supply, that's a big problem, introspection without direction, that is, I'm looking at my life, I'm examining everything, but I'm lacking direction. So all these conditions, these contrasts, speak of a lack of balance and bring us to a place of frustration, a place of not recognizing season. Well, I believe that these are all issues that living in your season will correct. When you're in God's season for your life, all these imbalances will become corrected because God supplies everything you need. You believe that? But the key here is, what is God's season? What does it mean to live in the season of God? Now, here in the Midwest, we live in what's called a temperate zone, meaning that we experience all four seasons, very distinct seasons, winter and spring and summer and fall. We are very aware of that. And so we experience these seasons, and most of us, you know, we like everything else except for winter. Most of us, spring is great, summer's great, fall is great, but winter's like, oh my God, winter's here, winter. We suffer through winter. And so many of us are deeply affected by these cycles of nature. Now, it's a fact that, you know, we don't have sunshine. Direct sunshine is physically good for you. We know this. So when the sun doesn't shine for a while and you're inside a lot, don't get sunshine, that does have an effect on your physiology. But my point, though, is we sometimes let the seasons of nature begin to dictate to us the seasons of our life. Or we maybe look at seasons of nature and contrast it to our lives and think things like, you know, maybe I'm in the winter season of my life right now. I'm coming into my spring, you know, or I'm into summer, going into fall, and then I'm going into the winter of my life. Now, listen, let me tell you something. The natural seasons have nothing to do with the seasons of God in your life. That's why a couple of years ago, the Lord really helped me to think this way. I don't complain anymore about winter and snow and cold. Now, I say I don't complain. It may slip out every now and then, you know. But I purposed, the Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I've taken a couple of pictures where on a heavy snow day, I've gone out in the snow and stood there in the snow and took a selfie with my hands up, thought, praise the Lord, while it's snowing, in the middle of the snow. We let natural seasons dictate to us our seasons in life, and that your season in God has nothing to do with the seasons of weather. Amen, somebody? Amen. Now, we know it's true. But, you know, I'm telling you, we're affected by stuff around us. Price of gas, the president's, all his shenanigans. I mean, we get all these circumstances affect us more than they should. Now, we should notice things, deal with things. I believe in being engaged and involved and passionate about things in life. I'm not going to be dispassionate, but I'm not going to let these circumstances twist my perception and then make me miss my season. Right. See, what appears to be a failed season is my not paying attention to what God is doing. Right. What appears to be a failed season is me being distracted from what God is doing. Yeah. And distraction is one of the devil's devices. Yeah. Don't be unaware of his devices, the Bible says. So his devices is to make you look at your circumstances that you're living inside of and around and somehow relate that to your life. No, you're not in the winter of your life or in this fall or summer or spring. No, you're in the kingdom of God. We're kingdom people. And the kingdom is independent of all the circumstances of this world. Now, you know, I realized this, you know, being over in Hawaii for a couple of weeks or about 10 days, and realizing that not every place in the world has seasons. Some places have no season, have no season at all. Now, even Florida has seasons. You know, Mississippi, Alabama, I mean, it's warmer, but their seasons like hotter, humid, hurricanes. I mean, they have rainy season, dry season. So Florida, South Florida, Hawaii is different than Florida. Even California, San Diego, all that. So Hawaii has no seasons. Every single doggone day, 80 to 85 degrees. And so wife and I, we're enjoying the, everything and all these nice people. Now, of course, the staff is paid to be nice to you. But people just around and about, just nice. The guy driving an Uber was nice. People just nice. Why y'all so nice? I realize because they're in a nice place. They're in a nice place. It makes them nice. I'm telling you the truth. That's what I've concluded. That's my analysis and my deep conclusion. You're in a nice place. It just make you nicer. All right? Now, whereas over here, you know, you catch us the wrong time of the year. You're coming off of 3 days, 5 days, no sunshine, and it's been cold and rainy. And some of us are affected by it, but we should not be affected. Nothing should change our character, our mood. Now, so being in that place for those days, now, it's not total paradise. They have problems. There's issues. Now, I realize, again, just, you know, being there, not having a season makes you feel different. I mean, every day, now, even when you plan vacations, you know, in Florida, you always check the weather. What's the forecast today? Because it could be too hot. It might rain all day. Over there, you don't check the forecast. You just do what you're going to do. Just get up and go. No forecast, because the forecast is the same. And if it is raining on one side, just go over on the other side. Just a few miles, go over there, and there's no rain over there. Fine, just, so the point is, it's when you don't have a season, it makes you think that, okay, my life is better, living in a place with no seasons. And that my life would be better if I could leave a place like this, with all these crazy seasons. And folk do think that, I got to get out of here. We all think that, you know, about February, you know, I'm going to California. But when you go really drill down into it and examine the situation, you can't live in California, except in the desert somewhere. I mean, to take your Indiana money to California, you can live in the desert and drive 2 miles, 50 miles to get to your job in the city, to live in L.A. County, to live where you see the pictures, to live where you always imagined is a whole other level, all right? So listen, y'all, my point is we're not people living by the conditions of this world. And if you tie yourself to weather and to seasons of this world, it causes you to miss your season in God. Please hear that. And that being over there in Hawaii was great. I'll show you a video here in a moment. I enjoyed it. A good time to get away, you know, and just be someplace with my wife and enjoy our anniversary celebration, our 40th honeymoon. And it reminded me that we don't want to come back home and then become wrapped up in conditions again, see? I mean, truly, you know, we all get affected by winter and we get harassed and feel harassed by conditions around us. But being over there and resting like that reminded me, no reason to leave that state of rest. There's no reason to ever leave the place of rest on the inside of you. Even in the midst of the storms that we face in life, we can rest in the Lord, amen? I'm gonna show you a video. And this is an aerial video, a drone video I took. I want you to see this and just to see the condition and also just to share something I did while I was over there and remind us that there are places in the world that have no seasons and that, if anything, draw from that example. Just see yourself in a place where you live only in God's season. Amen? Say, I only live. Say, I only live in God's seat. And that's nice. That's nice. Nice to visit them. Nice to see that. But I thank God that I don't live there, but wherever I live, the peace of God is in me. Amen? I don't need to have things around me to line up for me to feel like I'm in my season in God. But because I am doing God's will, because I'm planted by the rivers of water, then God's season is alive in me. Now, let me show you how we can live in the season of God in our lives at all times. It's right there in Psalm 1:3. He said here again, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There's the key there. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's the Bible word for season. And so a season is a fruitful space in time that comes out of seeds of obedience to God that we have sown. Now please hear that. Say that my season is a fruitful space in time that comes out of seeds of obedience to God that I have sown. Now, please get that, because we think that a season is that which kind of just happens to us. Waiting for my season. What are you doing? I'm waiting for my season. And so we think seasons just happen to us, or that we hope for a new season and it comes. That's not the way it works. That is not the way it works. I believe that we are involved with the creation of God's seasons in our life. We don't make it happen. But the psalmist said it. That whole psalm is telling us the recipe for success in your season. And the main part is being like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Because, listen, until a tree is planted where it needs to be planted, it cannot receive what it needs. It cannot become fruitful not being planted by rivers of water. So when you're planted by a source, then like a tree, you'll bring forth your fruit in your season. You get that? And so God's season then is a fruitful space in time that comes from the seeds of obedience that we have sown. So then when you obey God, let's take an example. Let's say the Lord put upon your heart, let's take Freetown Village, for example. Ophelia's here. There's a point in time that Ophelia thought about Freetown Village doing something like this. I'm not sure how it all came about, but at some point she had to plant that ideal in a fruitful place. Plant it into a place among people who could support that. Plant it into the area of the historical knowledge of African Americans in Annapolis and in that era, 1870, and then eventually be planted near a source like Lilly Endowment and whatever else for funding. In other words, the season doesn't start until you're planted next to a resource. You follow me? Amen. When you get planted next to a source, then the season can begin. See, there's no big mystery to it. I'm waiting for my season. What are you doing? I'm just waiting for it. You're going to be waiting until you die. And your season will appear to fail, not because it failed, but because you weren't paying attention and didn't become planted and have obedience as a seed that you have sown into God's purpose. Let me give you an example. I remember many years ago working with a young man who had, in high school, who had scholarship opportunities that would have taken him all the way through 4 years of college, paid for, had begun the process of enrolling in school, and IUPUI hadn't quite finished it, so I took him down to IUPUI, personally took him down there, and got him walked to the registrar, and we sat down and did everything necessary to get enrolled. It was all done. One thing to do is he had to contact his high school and request information release sent back. And so that was it. Make that call or visit the school, whatever, get that done. And you're in school and your season can begin. But he didn't follow up, did not make the call. I called, reminded him twice, never did it. So that that season of him going to school, that season of his life, it never started. He missed that whole season because he did not become planted. You follow me? Now, I recognize that, you know, people say, well, college ain't for everybody. Well, if you went to college, you wouldn't think that way. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, something is for everybody. If it's not college, it's trade school, it's military, there is something for everybody beyond high school. So people, young folk miss their whole season because they don't become planted in something else after high school. You follow me? And that's a big issue, people. That if we don't get planted near rivers of water, get planted near the presence of God, the source that God provides for us, the season doesn't start until you get planted. Amen. Say, the season doesn't start until I am planted. And I thought about that. It's true. I mean, I began ministry all these long time, Lord, it's been years ago. I've been ministering all these years. And how long has it been? I think it's been, well, over 40 years. And but it all began with sitting in the art class, John Heron Art School. I'm 21 years old. In this art class, going to art school and going through the art class things and the Lord just spoke to me. I mean, we're doing the process, we're going to start doing, we were doing critiques where you put your work on the wall and everybody gets to critique it every week. And that was rough at first, but then you begin to expect it and learn from it. But during one critique, the Lord just, you know, well, it's a long story, just say that. He called me to the ministry, called me to preach in the art class. And he basically said, there is no more they can tell you. You must tell them about Jesus Christ. I said, yes. And so when I said yes, the season began when I said yes to God. You follow me? And from there, I told my grandfather, who was my pastor, you know, I got planted in that way, with mentoring and training and preparation for ministry. So in your whole life, every fruitful season began with you being planted beside a source. Beside a source. And when people don't understand the principle, then they're going to miss the season. The season doesn't fail. We just miss out by not paying attention. Amen, somebody? So I'm going to pay attention. Amen. So it's never too late to start paying attention. It really isn't. Because we don't want to be among those who arrive at a point in life talking about, I could have and should have and would have. Like the boys back at college talking about, oh, Hollis, my Sands. The Sands is a word meaning my frat brother. And he said, yeah, man. I'm going to go Motown, man. I'm going to cut a record, man. I'm going to cut a record, you know, like, you know, wishful thinking. And there is something called magical thinking. Now, listen, y'all, it's real. Magical thinking is an actual condition that some people have. That is, a thinking thoughts that are magical but won't happen. But sometimes we get caught up with magical thinking, and we're not being planted by rivers of water. So the season begins when I'm planted, amen? And so when you allow the Lord to guide you that way, and you recognize, okay, the winter, the fall, the spring, the summer, I'm not basing my life on that. I'm in winter now, my spring is coming. No, I'm going to listen to God now. I'm going to pull myself away from all these forces around me. What people are saying and all the worries and concerns of people and all that chatter, I'm going to pull apart from that and hear what God has to say to me. Because, you know, one thing for sure, people who don't know where they're going won't help you. Like I always say, if you don't know, don't help me. But if you do know, help me. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. So then, let's connect this. So Hebrews 11, 6, let's read together, please, on the screen there. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There it is. Wow. He rewards those who diligently seek him. That sounds a lot like being planted by rivers of water. When you're the tree that's planted where God wants to plant you, then you're going to be able to draw the source. Man, this is the season right here in church. You came to church this morning, you planted yourself in your car, drove over here, and you planted your behind in the chair, got up in worship, sat back down, and now we're in the Word. I thought about our marriage. Wife and I have been married 40 years, and remember the day I proposed to her, and that was a planting, you know, praise God, and think about just all the blessings and the memories of all the things we've done together, and the children have come and grandkids have come. All that came out of being planted by a source. And our marriage has lasted and endured because we were planted in Jesus. Our marriage was, you know, based in God, God's Word. And so that we haven't had all the struggle. We've had all the struggles. We've not succumbed to the struggles. Amen. We've had the struggles, not succumbed. And so people say things like, well, you know, me and my wife, we go through all that. Oh, do you? I don't go through all that. You know what I'm saying? So don't put that on me. That's you. That ain't me. See, I'm not listening to what you got. I'm listening to what God's saying. And, you know, be careful who you listen to. Make sure you're being planted by a source. Say a source. Because you can be planted where there's no source. There's no strength in that. It's just, he's just there. But God wants you planted by living water. So then he rewards those who seek him diligently. And that's the obedience part. My obedience is the seed that I'm sowing. Again, it's God's grace doing it. I'm not doing the work. It's God's grace doing it. But I'm putting myself in position for God to help me. Look at Acts chapter 1. We'll give an example of how this works, what it looks like. Now, in Acts chapter 1, we're looking at the beginning of the church as we know it today. That in Luke 24, Jesus gave him instruction what to do, to go to Jerusalem and wait for him. He went up into heaven. So Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 says there, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Amen. So Jesus gave instruction in Luke, and it continues here, is being recalled here in Acts chapter 1. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Wow. So here they are assembled, seeing and hearing from Jesus, getting those instructions, and then someone asked a question, verse 6. They asked, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, not a bad question, but not a fruitful question, because the problem we have is this. Listen, when we're thinking about seasons, we're thinking about all the things that God is going to do or God should do, and when's this going to happen? We're pondering all these things. And so they said, Lord, is it now for you to do this? Is it the season now to give this kingdom back to Israel? Watch the answer. Verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father's put in his own authority. Wow. So their question was, is it now the season? God's answer was, don't you worry about that. Same for us. What he did say was this, verse 8, but you shall receive power, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth, right? So he did give them instruction. He said, now you go wait for me in this place we call up a room, and you go in there, you wait for me, you pray, you seek me, and I'll do what I want to do when I'm ready to do it. See, listen, y'all, you put the seasons start when you are in obedience to God and planted. But when it starts, what happens exactly, that's up to God. Your role is to obey. See, my role is to obey. Now, watch, it says here, look at verse 9. All right. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood behind them, angels, in white apparel, who said, men of Galilee, why are you sitting here gazing up at the heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go up. Verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem. Verse 13, and when they had entered, they went up to an upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, the names of the people there. Verse 14, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications. Now, there's the key right there. They planted themselves in that room, following God's instructions, together, waiting, praying, supplicating before God. And that planting, beside that source of water, besides what God said, now what happens next, we know, is in verse 1 of chapter 2, Acts 2, verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, planted, if you will. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And the rest is history. Amen. That the season of the church active and alive in the world and preaching the gospel around the world began on that day in that room. That as they were planted, they were trees planted by the source of God's presence. What happened was what the psalmist said, that they will bear fruit in their season. You see that? It's all through Scripture. It's a principle, I believe, in Scripture. That when God finds a people or a person who will be obedient to him and be planted where he wants them to be planted, next to his presence, near a source, and when those same people are being obedient, and obedience is a seed that they're sowing, all that happens next, I mean, the season can start. God can get involved with that person, and God can do what he wants to do because they're in position for him to do it. Amen? Anybody who did not go to Jerusalem and gather up there, they missed the whole thing. I mean, they went somewhere else and went back home. They missed it. They missed it. Whatever happened on that day happened in that upper room. It began there. And only the people who were there experienced it. Because they were there. Now, listen. What happened from there did spread out. I mean, people were blessed later from those who began there. But as far as those who actually began that movement, they were in that room. They were in that room and nobody else. And I thank God for that example. And if you think back on your life, that every fruitful season in your life has happened that same way. That same way. That you may have had an idea. You may have had a desire. But until you made that decision, made that phone call, put it on your calendar, drove yourself over there. I mean, whatever, something had to happen to plant you near that source. And once you were planted and were diligent in that place, God showed up and did the rest. The time and season, that's all up to God. Your part is to be in position. Say, my part is to be in position. I'm going to finish up here. I'm going to do more on this next week. But let's talk about now how to get in position. Because, again, if the problem is being out of position, if the problem is a lack of balance, how do we get into balance and get back into a position. Well, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Go way back, Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 10. And here's another reason why we are not in position sometimes, why we don't get planted. Ecclesiastes 10. And it says in verse 10, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. So we need to be sharpened to get our sharp edge back on. Now, we don't use axes today, but we use knives. And we all know what it's like to have a kitchen knife that doesn't cut anymore. You have to hold this old dull knife, and we're sawing at it and cutting at it, and we're working at it. As it says here, if the axe is dull, you must use more strength. And I taught this years ago. I teach you, it's a principle that sometimes folks say, I'm tired. I'm just tired. When you're tired, how are you tired? How did you sleep last night? I slept good last night, but I just feel so tired. I feel tired. Well, I suggest you're tired because you're using more strength. That you've become dull, and you're having to use more of your own strength. And your strength just makes you tired. Amen, somebody. Yes. You're tired of how things are happening, relationships and your marriage and job, and I'm just tired of folk. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. I'm just tired. I'm so tired. Well, why are you tired? I suggest what the text here said. Now, so imagine if you have an axe, you go out to cut a tree down, small tree. The old-fashioned way, you have to heave that axe, you know, wield the axe, hit that tree and cut chunks. And you finally get through it and cut it down. If you had a sharp axe will cut that thing in a few blows. I've watched these lumberjack shows, and it's fun to watch that stuff. Those guys, man, it's amazing. Boy, that's something. They cut like 3 or 4 inches piece of wood, like one stroke, boom, just cut it right off because the axe is sharp. So the point's very obvious. If the axe is dull, the New Living says this, since a dull axe requires great strength, sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. NIV says, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. Wow, so look at us. Here we are grappling with our seasons and our lives, and we feel tired and all this going on. But two things. First of all, let God put the sharp edge back on you. And number two, only be planted beside a source. Even to the point where in natural things, if you got an opportunity, for example, to go into business or an opportunity to take some training, then you should be planted in a school or a training program that's qualified, amen, that can deliver on its promise. My mom years ago, remember she took this course in key punch. Now, key punch, well, that's something that back in the day they had these cards with holes in them, which were used for data. Data entry was done with these cards. And so they had operators who would sit there and type instructions and punch these cards out. And so that was, you know, what she took some training to do, but she didn't know that was all phasing out. See, the whole key punch way of entry was phasing out and going into a different mode, you know, with computers and such. So you don't want to get planted beside something that's going away, you know. Be close to a source. Don't put your trust in somebody that doesn't know anything, you know. Just get planted with people and with situations where there is source. There is enough there to help you, amen, to get through. And so that's one thing. But again, before that, we personally must sharpen ourselves. Now I'm going to get to this more next week. But there's some keys for sharpening, being sharpened in your season or sharpened for your season. For example, the Bible says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. That one point right there. How many of us have listened to a message, have heard a teaching, been to a conference, took all the notes, and we leave there and don't put into action what we have learned? I mean, I've been in discussions with people, online discussions, people talking about this, talking about that. What's the Bible say? Why are Christians talking about something and haven't gone to find out what the Bible says about it? So then we're wasting our time. We're using more strength. We're wearing ourselves out for a lack of sharpness. Amen, somebody? Amen. So I'm going to close out here, but I want us to be encouraged that your seasons never fail. They don't fail because you're always letting God plant you near the living waters. You're always being planted where the Lord will help you receive what you need. The principle, I believe, is true. But the psalmist said it's true, that we are like trees that are planted by rivers of water, that bring forth fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. Whatever it does prospers. That's your life. That is your life. Say, that's my life. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us today of these principles in Scripture, of this truth, that because of Jesus, we have the opportunity to be planted.